Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 20th of Shvat. Today we're going to see a new Beishiv, a new rabbi whose Shivot we don't usually see. This is the Ketav Sofer. The Ketav Sofer is Rabbi Avraham Shmuel Binyamin Wolf Sofer Schreiber. He was the firstborn son of the Chatam Sofer, born in Pressburg in 1815. And his mother was the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger, the second wife of the Chatam Sofer. The Chatam Sofer has this interesting life story in that he lost his first wife, meaning she passed away, and then when they suggested a second wife to him, they suggested the daughter of Rabbi Akiva Eger. What made a little bit of a strange arrangement was that Rabbi Akiva Eger was about a year and a half older than Chatam Sofer only. He had a daughter, and this daughter had been married also, I think, and had lost her first husband. In any case, they got married, and they were married for the rest of the Chatam Sofer's life, and they had, I think, many children. So the oldest son is this Avraham ben Shmuel ben Yamin Wolf Sofer, who became known as the Shiva as the Ketav Sofer. His father passed away when he was 24 because he had him when he was, you know, relatively older. He was in his early 50s, I think, when he had him. He was like 53 when he had him. So Chatam Sofer lived into his late 70s, which at the time was certainly considered somewhat of a full life. And so this Ketav Sofer became the Rav of Pressburg and the head of Yeshiva, one of the leaders of Hungarian Jewry. Now his book, Shuk Ketav Sofer, he worked his whole life as a Talmid Chacham, and he supported living in Eretz Yisrael. He did all sorts of wonderful things, but he... his Shu'ot Ketav Sofer were published in 1870, from 1873 to 1894, meaning many years after he passed away. So this is material that happened during the Ketav Sofer's life, but that was only published afterwards. So this one that we saw that we're going to see today, the 20th of Shvat, was from Ketav Sofer Yoredeya section, Simon Kuf Chaf Tet. Number 129, he's writing to his brother Yosef Sofer, and he's fulfilling a request, he says, that he should write down what he had said in his brother's place. When he had come to his brother's place, Shabbos Kodesh Parshas B'Shalach, the 15th of Shvat, that's not the 20th of Shvat, we'll get to the 20th of Shvat, when they dedicated a sefer Torah. So on Shabbos Parshas B'Shalach, Tu B'Shvat, he had spoken, and now he was asked to say what he had said. He was asked to write down what he had said. So, and he says it, Bishmata V'Agadata, which was a long-standing tradition, I think, that you spoke first in Halakha, and then you said some Agada stuff, some more Jewish thought material, some more broad ideas, rather than specific Halakha. So the Halakha part starts with the topic that we don't always get to, the question of writing a Sefer Torah, which is relevant to this occasion. To the Rambam, Hilchos Sefer Torah, writes that every Jewish man is required to write a Sefer Torah, and he bases it on the pasuk just before Hazinu, which says, "Kidvu lachem hashira hazot." Right in Parshat Vayelech, Hashem says to Moshe, I think, "Kidvu lachem hashira hazot." That pasuk I know appears that you should write down this shira. Now, this shira means this song. The Rambam understood it. This is a well-known question. So, what song is meant when the Torah says, when Hashem says, "Kidvu lachem," or Moshe Rabbeinu says? It's Hashem speaking to the Jewish people. It's in Parashat Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yotet. You should write down this Shira. So what Shira does Hashem mean? Does Hashem mean the whole Torah, calls the whole Torah Shira? That's one possibility. Some commentators hold that way. Others hold that it means, and the Rambam is one of those, hold that it means, no, the Shira that Hashem is about to teach them, Hazinu, and they should write it down and learn it and know it well because it'll be an aid for what's going wrong for them in Jewish history. This is a topic that's very close to my heart. I once spoke about it and wrote about it in a book called We're Missing the Point, that people don't even realize that Hazinu is one of the sections of the Torah. The Torah explicitly says we need to know well and have in mind. It says, put it in their mouths. It's supposed to be in our mouths all the time to know the messages of Hazinu, which we're not going to get into now because it's not our forum and not in our framework. But it's ironic because Hazinu, I think, and I claim, is one of the lesser well-known parts of the Torah. It's a shira, it's a song, it's a poem. It's hard to understand sometimes. You have to really learn it well. There's lots of Rashi on it. And yet, it's what the Torah explicitly singles out as something we should make sure to know. That's a different topic. But when Hashem says, write it, and bases and makes an obligation to write it, the Rambam understood that the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, which is this is the source verse for, is really a mitzvah to write Ha'azinu. But since we're not allowed to write the Torah parshiot in sections, therefore we have to write the whole Torah. That's where the Rambam understands it. Okay, the Shagat Aryeh in Simon Lamed Daled wasn't sure if the Rambam meant that really the only mitzvah is to write the Shira, and therefore, let's say somebody just wrote the Shira, they're not allowed to, right? You're not allowed to write just parts of the Torah, but let's say somebody did, right? So after the fact, have they fulfilled the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah or to write a Shira or not? Meaning, is the mitzvah, according to the Rambam, to write the Shira, or is the mitzvah in the Rambam, well, since you have to write a Shira, you have to write the whole Torah, right? And since it's prohibited, that since the Torah knew it was prohibited to write parts of the Torah has really said, write the whole Torah, but the goal was to make sure the Shira got written. Another nafkamina says, the Ketav Sofer is, this is the Shikariya, is let's say you have a Sefer Torah that was once upon a time fully valid, and then Hazinu got erased or got worn out. Hazinu got so worn out that it's not valid anymore. So I come along and I write Hazinu over again. Does that count now for the mitzvah? Meaning if the mitzvah is really to write Hazinu, except we have this technical detail in our mitzvah that we can't just write Hazinu because you're not allowed to write parts of the Torah. Here, I'll have written Hazinu in a way that I am allowed to write just Hazinu. Maybe I fulfill the mitzvah. Or we say no, that once the mitzvah was to write Hazinu, and that's not generally allowed on its own, the mitzvah originally became. We know the goal of it, the mitzvah originally became to write the whole Torah. The Ketav Sofer wants to prove, says he thinks he can prove that the mitzvah is actually to write. For the Rambam, the mitzvah is to write the whole Torah to begin with, and he's going to give examples. Now, I want to say that a lot of what he's going to say, I think there's lots of other ways to see it. I will briefly mention right now, because I don't generally critique tshuvot that we learned together, but I'll briefly mention right now that starting from soon after the Rambam, maybe already the Sefer HaChinuch in the 1200s, but certainly the Rush in the late 12, early 1300s held that the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah was in fact not a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah in particular. It's not that ritual item that's the mitzvah. It's the having objects of learning. It's having a Sefer to learn with that's the mitzvah. And that affects all sorts of things, including what the mitzvah is and including whether or not, in fact, one has to write a Sefer Torah, all sorts of things. But that's another way of looking at it. The Ketav Sofer will not go in any of that way of looking at it. So we're just going to learn what he has to say. So he says, he notes, to understand how he can demonstrate to his satisfaction that the Rambam held you have to write the whole Sefer. That became the mitzvah. Once you couldn't write Hazinu on its own, in general, the mitzvah became to write the whole Torah. He says, I want to give you a prior discussion. In the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam writes that women are not obligated in this mitzvah to say of writing a Sefer Torah. And the Shagat Aryeh there didn't understand why. And he says he didn't find a reason. So that's the Shagat Aryeh, right? Shagat Aryeh is a very interesting book that I've never gone through fully, so I don't pretend to know it well. But he was a brilliant mind, and he brought up issues that he didn't understand, and sometimes just left them as not understanding. He was still, even though he's in Acharon for sure, he lives in the 18th century, in the 1700s. Born in 1695 in Lithuania, and he has this hard life because he wanders all over the place. I think he's probably not the easiest man to get along with because he was very, very brilliant and very clear on when things were right and when things were wrong. But he was perfectly comfortable talking about Rishonim and talking about which Rishon was right, which Rishon was wrong. He did not have this sense of Achronim, I'm there only to receive what the Rishonim said, which is a whole discussion of what I want to read by Meir Twersky. Contrast the Shagat Aryeh to what the Briskers did. The Shagat Aryeh thought what you needed to do was learn the Rishonim and find which one and decide among them, and that the Briskers had decided that all Rishonim were good Lamdanim, and you didn't decide among them, you should each of them for their own positions. Topic of its own as well. In any case, Shagat Aryeh doesn't understand or doesn't know why the Rambam was so sure that women were exempted from the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Lots of answers to that question. We're only going to go with the Ketav Sofer, so if you think you know of other answers, it could be right. If you want to hear other answers, please email me at grothst@gmail.com. I'll be happy to share with you some other thoughts about how and why women might not be obligated to write a Sefer Torah, some which will come up here. But the Ketav Sofer says, I think that the Shagat Aryeh rejected a reason that's actually the right reason. He raised the reason, said it can't be right. The Ketav Sofer says, maybe the reason is that women aren't obligated in all the mitzvot in the Torah, right? There's whole categories of mitzvot, like mitzvot aseh she'asban grama, that women aren't obligated in. If they're not obligated in those mitzvot, maybe they don't have the responsibility to write the Sefer Torah that has that. So the Shagat Aryeh had said that that can't be the right answer, because a Kohen also has mitzvot that don't obligate, or that don't obligate regular Jews, right? Kohanim have more mitzvot than regular Jews, so they're all mitzvot that Kohanim don't have by virtue of their other mitzvot that they do have. Or there's an obligation to establish a king, Right? The king has mitzvot that regular Jews don't have. So there's all sorts of mitzvot that people don't have. So the idea that a Jew is not obligated in all of what we call 613, that's true of almost of many, many Jews. So if that's true of many, many Jews, says Zev Sofer, why should all of a sudden women, says the Shagat Aryeh, why should all of a sudden the fact that women have a particular category of mitzvot that they're not obligated in mean they shouldn't have to write a Sefer Torah? That's true of many Jews. So therefore, so the Zev Sofer says, I think it's different. Because there's something called Arivut, or Arivut, that we have a general halakhic principle, Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh, the Jews are responsible for each other in some way. So this comes up, for example, in why a Jew who's already fulfilled the mitzvah can many times help another Jew perform that mitzvah for another Jew who can't perform it on his or her, on his own, and help that person be yotze. So for example, if a Jew has already blown shofar, and then they meet up another Jew who hasn't yet blown shofar, and Rosh Hashanah, they can blow for them. Why can they blow for them? They've already fulfilled the mitzvah. So that comes to the issues of Arivut, Kol Yisrael Arivim Zeh Bazeh, and therefore, the Ketav Sofer says he thinks that could be the reason that it's different. That could be the reason why those people can still write a Sefer Torah, because they have this obligation of Arivut. So therefore, all the mitzvot really apply to all of those Jews together, even though some of them only specifically apply. But with Nashim, Ketav Sofer says, "Nahu ba'arivut." There's a well-known Rush who says that he thinks this principle of arivut doesn't apply to women, meaning that women are not responsible. And this would go back to all sorts of issues about why women are exempted from certain mitzvot. I think it would have to do with the fact that you don't want to force women out into the public sphere if they don't want to be there. But the answer is that women do not have the same level of responsibility, for sure, halachically, as men in terms of making sure that other Jews have the opportunities to perform mitzvot. So that principle of arivut doesn't come into play. And therefore, says the Ketav Sofer, they don't have to write a Sefer Torah because they're not obligated in many mitzvot, and they don't have arivut for those mitzvot, and therefore they're not obligated. Now, again, I'm not going to fully critique this, but I want to just pause and note that takes for granted that the obligation to write a Sefer Torah is connected to the obligation in its mitzvot. But he's ignored the fact that for the Rambam, and that's what we're talking about. I mean, he's allowed to think whatever he wants to think about the mitzvah, but for the Rambam, the mitzvah isn't about the mitzvah. The mitzvah was about ha'azinu. So therefore, it's unclear why the fact that women aren't obligated, let's say, in sukkah or shofar, should affect the fact that once they hit a ha'azinu, and Hashem says you have to know ha'azinu and write it down, that Hashem means that. And then if the necessity of writing down ha'azinu is you have to write the whole Sefer Torah, and that becomes the mitzvah, so what do I care how much of that content does or doesn't apply to a particular person? Because Sarah doesn't change that, so we'll move on. He says, if I'm right, I'm sorry, I have it in my head because he just says that. That's the next thing we're up to. He says, but I understand what I'm right about, but that doesn't make sense for the Rambam because the Rambam held that the mitzvah was to write the whole Sefer Torah. Oh, I'm sorry. He takes it the other way. He says, to me, that supports the idea that the mitzvah must be to write the whole Sefer Torah, because if the mitzvah was just the Shira, then the women should be chayavot. So in other words, he's saying, when we raised the question before of whether the mitzvah is to write the whole Torah or to write just ha'azinu, I read it as either the mitzvah is to write ha'azinu and therefore you have to write the whole Torah, or that since the mitzvah was to write ha'azinu, Hashem already turned it into a mitzvah to write the whole Sefer Torah. But the Ketav Sofer is so sure that second option doesn't only mean Hashem turned it into a mitzvah to write the Sefer Torah, but he turned it so much to that mitzvah, it becomes the mitzvah, and therefore, if somebody's not obligated in many of those mitzvot, they would not be obligated to write the whole Sefer Torah. That's, I think, at least an arguable conversation, but that's the way he says it. Then he says, I think if you read the Pesukim, it sounds like it means just write the Shira. And he says, but there's another machloket we have in the Gemara that he thinks he can connect to this as well. And that machloket in the Gemara is the question of what's called Megillah Megillah Nitnet or Chatumah Nitna. When Moshe Rabbeinu actually gave it to the Jewish people, meaning, what we're clear on, it seems, my understanding of this whole sugya is, what we're clear on is that when Moshe went up to Har Sinai, Hashem taught him the whole Torah. That it seems when he came down, what he brought down in written form was the luchot, was the tablets. And it's fairly clear that by the end of the desert time, by the time Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving the Jewish people, either the whole or just about the whole Torah was written, depending on what you think about the last eight psukim. There's a Gemara that talks about whether Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them bedema, he wrote them whatever that means, bedema, silently or in tears or whatever, or if Yehoshua actually wrote down those last eight psukim from after Moshe passes away. Either way, the question is, what happened in between? How did the Torah get given? Is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching them Torah, but it wasn't fully written down yet there in the desert, and then at the end he gave it to them as one big thing? And part of the reason why you'd have to say this is because there are events in the Torah that don't occur, that occur after Har Sinai. So it would be odd if Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the Torah from Har Sinai with all those events written in it. So the answer is, no, it was only completed by the time they got to the Yarden, by the time Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the scene. But how did that happen? Was it, and this is the machloket in the Gemara, it's a debate in the Gemara, Megillah, piece by piece, as each piece became relevant and write downable, as it were, carved it, not in stone, but set as events that occurred, then it would be written down and given, or one big thing all at the end. So, the one who says Megillah, no, doesn't maybe have any proof from the pasuk, but for the one who says Chatumani, now the Torah is given as one whole unit, so then the Ktav Sofer says, well, notice that the Torah says Kidvu Lachem Hashira Hazel. Now, if it's all one big book already, it's all one unified thing, then it's odd that it wouldn't say Kidvu Lachem HaTorah Hazel. So therefore, he thinks that view that says Chatumani would say that the mitzvah is really the Shira. But you have to write it all because you can't write any one piece to itself. And therefore, so that would get back to women as well then. If women are not included in the mitzvah, remember he said, women are not included because the mitzvah is really to write the whole Torah. If the mitzvah is really to write the whole Torah, the fact that they're not obligated in many of the mitzvot would come into play. But he's now just said he thinks that only works for the view that says Torah Megillah Megillah in it, because according to the opinion that says it was all given in one big thing at the end, then the word Shira very much points to the mitzvah as having been to write the Shira and not to write the rest of the and then to write the rest of the Torah only because you're not allowed to write parts of the Torah. Now, supporting that or helping that is the Rif Paskins. The Rif says the Rambam, I don't think, explicitly rules on whether it was Megillah Megillah Nid or Chatumani. It was given all at once or it was given in pieces. But the Rif does say it was given in pieces, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu would write down for them each piece of the Torah as it came, and then by the end of the desert, it was all one big Torah. So if the Rif Paskins that way, it's not a terrible claim to the Rambam Paskin that way. Whether these are all tied together, that's what the Ketav Sofer is trying to suggest for us. So all of that is an insight into the obligation to write a Sefer Torah, and a reminder of the role that Ha'azinu plays in it. Whether that role of Ha'azinu playing it is continues into our times, that it's really a mitzvah to write Ha'azinu and to know it well, or whether at the time of Matan Torah, since you couldn't write a whole Torah, you had to write, since you couldn't write pieces of the Torah, and therefore you couldn't just write Ha'azinu, therefore you had to write the whole Torah, including Ha'azinu. Those are issues about women and why they are or aren't relevant to it, and what their role in Arevut is important halachic material that comes up in other contexts. And then he throws in, and then the question of Megillah Megillah Neit or Chatumah Neit, of how the Torah was actually given in writing. It was given in Har Sinai, and then when it came into writing, whether it was Megillah Megillah piece by piece throughout the desert or one big piece at the end, that's another topic that was relevant and important. And now he moves on to say, but there's another way to answer the Shagat Aryeh's question, and I think personally this is a much better answer. He says that Sefer Torah, HaMitzvah Sheikhtov Lo Kol Echad Sefer Torah, you have to write a Sefer Torah for yourself. And if that's the mitzvah, to write it for yourself, women can't actually write a Sefer Torah. And the reason women can't write a Sefer Torah is because there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Ukshartam lo'ot ha'yadecha uchtaftam, that you have to tie tefillin on your arms, and then you have to write mezuzot al beitecha. But the understanding in the Gemara is that those who are obligated to tie tefillin are those who are obligated to write a mezuzah or a Sefer Torah. So women are unable halachically to write a Sefer Torah that's valid. If they're unable to write it, then it doesn't make sense to be able to obligate, then you can't obligate them to write it. Because he says the Torah never obligates us in a mitzvah that we can't ourselves do. So you might say, well, what about sacrifices? The Torah obligates us to bring sacrifices, and we can't do it. The Kohanim do it. So the answer is, he says, the Kohanim are shluchei derachmana. The Kohanim are the messengers, the agents of Hashem, as it were. So if they're the agents of Hashem, my mitzvah as an ordinary Jew isn't to sacrifice the sacrifices, to bring the sacrifice to Hashem and give it over to Hashem to then be sacrificed. And the Kohen stands in for Hashem. Hashem in that situation, not like personalized Hashem, he's like the messenger of Hashem in that situation. So Therefore, he's saying that you can't obligate women to write a Sefer Torah because they couldn't write it. So how could you obligate them? That's a very interesting idea to me, and that connects to a lot of issues that are not going to be brought up here, and therefore we won't get into them, but that gets much more at the essence of the obligation to write a Sefer Torah and what it's connected to, because that connects it much more to the obligation to wear tefillin, and that might be much more obligated to the connection to study Torah, which women also don't have, which the Ketav Sofer doesn't even bring up. But a problem with his claim, he points out is, but I understand, because women are obligated in mezuzah, right? If a woman is living alone for whatever reason, and she has a home, she has an apartment, she has a house, she has whatever, she has the same exact obligation to put mezuzot on her door as a man. It's a mitzvah for a Jew to do so, and she's Jewish, and therefore she has to do it. And even though she can't write it, so now all of a sudden, he just started saying women don't have the obligation to write a Sefer Torah because they can't write it halachically, but they can't write mezuzot either, and yet they have an obligation to put up mezuzot. He says it's different because in the mitzvah of mezuzah, the mitzvah is not to write the mezuzah. The mitzvah is to have the mezuzah on our doorposts. In fact, right? So you say, well, what are you talking about? The Torah says, uchtav tam abezuzot b'techa, you have to write them on your doorpost. But the answer is, that is not our halachic tradition. There is, in fact, any obligation for each Jew to write their mezuzot. Everybody understands it to be, and there's never been a discussion of this, that the obligation is for Jews to have mezuzot on their doorposts. To get them there, you have to write them, and the work to muhtav tam there is not understood to be a mitzvah to write it down. It's to, but the mitzvah in Parashat Vayelech, that was always understood to be a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah for each and every Jew for themselves, and that's why it's different, and that's why would be another way to understand the difference between women. So that gets to the question then of whether women are allowed to write, are able halakhically to write tefillin, and that's actually a debate, although we paskin, I think they don't, but that's a debate, we're pretty sure we paskin they don't, but that's a debate as well, and that would be relevant here, and that would only be, the people who say women can't write tefillin are those who say that Laila is not a time of tefillin, which is what we rule, that you don't wear tefillin at night, or that Shabbos and Yom Tov are not times of tefillin, which is what we rule, and that turns tefillin into a mitzvah to say Shazman Krama, and then women aren't obligated, and all of that goes together. So there were opinions the Gemara that would have said that no, women are obligated, and if that were true, then maybe theoretically women would have been writing, could have written a Sefer Torah. Once they could have written a Sefer Torah, you'd have this question about it. So it seems like all this hangs together. In the Ketav Sofer's time, what you wanted to do was you wanted to explain halachot that worked even for those who held opinions that we eventually halakhically reject, because we think that those opinions are halakhic opinions as well, and that's why he gets into it. But fundamentally, I think that's the answer to the end. Now he comes to the Agadah part. So the Agadah part, he says he wanted to talk about the fact that Rava says in the Gemara, and this comes up today still, if somebody inherits a Sefer Torah from his forefathers, it's still a mitzvah to write his own, right? The mitzvah, meaning if the mitzvah of Atah Kidvul HaChemet HaShirah HaZot is to make sure that you have a Sefer Torah so you can study it, learn it, and know Ha'azinu, then why would we say that every Jew has to write a Sefer Torah? It's every Jew who doesn't have a Sefer Torah should write a Sefer Torah. Why? And Rava says, no. You have to write, even if you already have one, yeah, that you inherited, you have to write one. Also, Chazal write, Ki Kotev Lo Sefer Torah, Ki Ilu Kibla Mehar Sinai. Writing a Sefer Torah is as if one has inherited it from Har Sinai. And nobody understands why is that connection. What is it about writing a Sefer Torah that if you accept it, can receive it from Har Sinai? So then Mukhe Yosef understood or explained, and he wasn't thrilled with the answer. He said, because if you're willing to put in the effort to write a Sefer Torah, then certainly you would put in the effort to go to Har Sinai and accept it. So the Ketav Sofer says, I don't love that answer. I think I can express it better or add to it with a particular introduction. When we say, in general, there's another Gemara that says, if you teach your son Torah, it's as if you yourself received it from Har Sinai. And there too, what's the connection to Har Sinai? Meaning, what Ketav Sofer is pointing out and wondering about is, there's lots of ways the Gemara could say it's very good to teach your son Torah. There's lots of ways the Gemara could say it's very good to write your own Sefer Torah. Why did it pick the comparison of, it's as if you received it from Har Sinai? He says, it seems to me, says Ketav Sofer, that there are three ways in which people keep mitzvot. Now remember, he's writing this sometime in the mid-1800s, and yet it's going to sound very contemporary because you still have it today. There are three types of people who keep mitzvot. There are people who keep me'ahava, right? They do it out of a love of Hashem, which is not what we usually think of as by love, but they do it me'ahava as a standard. They're those who do it me'ira. They do it fundamentally because they don't want to get punished, because they're afraid of the consequences of not keeping mitzvot, because they know that Hashem is an awe-inspiring figure and they don't want to go against Hashem. And that's a valuable madrigal. It's not the same as ahava, but it's a valuable madrigal. A valuable level of spiritual accomplishment. And then he says, there are those who do it, they do it because they've always done it, because they're used to it. Right? And there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which has been complaining about this for thousands of years, their fear of me, their service of me, mitzvat anashim belumada. It's just a practice, it's just a custom, it's just what they're used to. So somebody who serves Hashem because they recognize Hashem, either they love Hashem so much, they have this desire to be close to Hashem so much, they do the mitzvot, or they have this recognition that Hashem also, if necessary, enforces observance of mitzvot, and therefore they do it mi-yirah, or they have, even better, they have yirah just of the awesomeness of Hashem, and therefore they do it. Such people will certainly teach their children to do Torah, to learn Torah, and to keep the Torah, and to act properly and righteously, either me'ava or me'yirah, but they'll transfer it because it's very important, because they say there's a God, and you have to recognize this God, you have to respond to this God and what this God wants, because this God runs the world. But somebody who does it just because they're used to it, and this gets into issues today, but people say, oh, I'm a cultural Jew, I'm a this, I'm a that. So such people, says the Ketav Sofer, then already in the 1800s, obviously there's these currents are out there in the world, such people don't teach their children Torah, or they might teach the Torah culturally, meaning I have to make sure my kid goes to a Judaic school, I have to make sure my kid's in Jewish classes, but they don't care that much about whether the kid actually learns Torah, because it wouldn't even so much bother them, says the Ketav Sofer, if the kid, it wouldn't bother the kid, because they themselves wouldn't necessarily keep Torah on mitzvot if it wasn't what they were used to. It's not that they have a deep attachment to it, it's that they've always done it, so they're not going to give it up. But if their kid doesn't end up learning Torah, that's his choice, right? That's his life. That's fine, you know, that's good for them. So the Ketav Sofer is saying, so if you make sure to teach your child Torah, that shows something about your observance of Torah yourself, and it shows that you would have been mekabla misinai. You would have wanted to go to Har Sinai and get it, but the people who do it only because they are used to it, because it's their common practice, we don't know if they would have gone to Har Sinai, because if you said to me, you can start over again, and you won't have these practices in your head, you won't have these customs, so you can do it, right? So that's the question. Would you go and do it again? You might not. You might say, what do I need it for, right? If I said to you, you're used to not eating kosher, to eating kosher, so you're not going to eat non-kosher. So ham bothers you, and shellfish bothers you, and shrimp bothers you. But if I said to you, but I could recreate a world in which none of this would be an issue for you, would you want it that way? So the answer is, he would say, oh, that would be fine. Right now, I could recreate a world in which you wouldn't have gotten the Torah, but not that. So the other people would say, no, but if it's against the will of Hashem, I don't want to do it. So that's the thing. And then he says, and that's the idea in when Rava says you should write a Sefer Torah for yourself, and the one who writes a Sefer Torah for himself is like he got it from Har Sinai. So the Ketav Sofer says that the Nemuk Yosef said, well, the effort he's willing to put in, so the Ketav Sofer says, I can connect it to that. I think it's that if you're willing to sit down and write a whole Sefer Torah for yourself, again, that's a lot of effort. You'd only put in that effort if you really care about it, either me'ahava or me'yirah, either out of the lower level of having fear, either of punishment or awe of the tremendousness of Hashem, or if you've reached whatever that higher level of ahava, where you perform the Torah out of love of Hashem, either way that you do that, those would be all things that would move you to write a Sefer Torah. But somebody who's just a cultural Jew, who's just, they're doing it because they've always used to be doing it, he says it's much harder to imagine they would sit down themselves to put in the effort to write a Sefer Torah. Much more to be said about that, but that's what the Ketav Sofer said. Here's another last little piece that I'm not sure I can get in all of it, but he points out that there's a Midrash in Kohelet that says, Ohev kesef lo yizba kesef. That's the pasuk in Kohelet. The verse in Kohelet says, somebody who loves money will never be satisfied by money. A very important cautionary tale about money itself, right? You think that. There's a point where you say, oh, I have enough money. For some people, that's true, but for many people, it's not true. Once they get, you know, $5 million, they want $10 million. They get $10 million, they want $100 million, whatever it is. So that's the pasuk. But the Midrash says that's true in a much more positive way for an ohev mitzvot. Ohev mitzvot, lo yizba mitzvot. If somebody loves mitzvot, then when they do some, they won't be satiated. They'll want more and more and more because they love them, right? But the Midrash goes on to say, but somebody who does a mitzvah, but he doesn't do a mitzvah that is kvu'ah l'dorot. He doesn't do a mitzvah that lasts beyond his generation, lasts into future generations, like writing a Sefer Torah, building a Beit HaKnesset. So that's hevel. That's the thing that Kohelet spends a lot of time going against. So it's unclear why, and we're running out of time, and I don't want to go through the whole thing, but fundamentally, because the first point is that if you're a cultural Jew, you don't really care about the continuity of Judaism. You care about just doing what you're used to doing. But if you have real Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, so then you'll do things that aren't immediately necessary or important, but that will have lasting effect into the future, such as writing Sefer Torah, building a shul. And we're going to leave the Ketav Sofer there. I'll just point out then that that sort of cuts two ways, because if the Ketav Sofer is right, it means that if somebody writes a Sefer Torah, see, I could argue there are people who are cultural Jews, but they know the part of being cultural Jews, and they don't really care about Hashem at all, but they know part of it is you write Sefer Torah, you build shuls, right? It's part of being a good Jew, is that you contribute to your local building. You're not really thinking of the future of Judaism, but that's what you do. So that would be the negative way of looking at such people that would, but the Ketav Sofer offers an option to look at these people more positively than they themselves might claim to, meaning the Ketav Sofer might say, well, if you see somebody who's building shuls and building schools and involved in the continuity of the Jewish people, so it could be that that person, for all that they say they don't care about Hashem, and they say they're not caring about serving Hashem, and they're just doing it because it's a practice they used to, maybe they care more than they realize, and that would be an opening to focus on and to be happy about noticing, you know, what we call the pintali, the little Jew inside of them who still believes in Hashem, even if their mouths are saying that they don't. So that's not the Ketav Sofer's topic, but I thought it was worth throwing in there. So for the 20th of Shvat, this is all dated at the end, 20th Shvat of Tav Reish Yud Aleph of 1851. The Ketav Sofer, the son of the Chatam Sofer, an important Talmid Chacham, although he never really reached his father's levels in terms of impact and influence on the Jewish people, but the Ketav Sofer, an important Talmid Chacham, taught us about the mitzvah of writing Sefer Torah, had a discussion of whether women do or don't have to write, and why, discussions of Arivut, of how we're responsible for each other and that, or how it affects it, about the question of whether the Torah would require us to do something that we can't perform ourselves but need a messenger for, and then a little bit on the different kinds of observance of mitzvah there are, whether it's Me'ava, Me'ira, or the kind that's not as good as the other two for sure, of doing it just because it's a practice that you have. And that is a response of Dave, the 20th of Shvat. Have a great day.